Thanks for connecting with Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Coming up next on Pod Topics, you'll hear the next episode of Moving Business Forward, focusing on businesses and organizations in the Chattanooga area. Here's a preview of our conversation with Christy Gillenwater, President and CEO of the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce.
You think about our whole renaissance was around cleaning our air. And you think about Vision 2000 and all the leaders and individuals in the community who helped lift up that work. That's a way of saying we are a resilient community. We roll up our sleeves, we figure it out. That's part of the brand of Chattanooga, is we're rugged, we're willing to solve our problems. And so I think for those reasons, we were well positioned for COVID relative to other communities. That being said, I kind of like to compare it to like when you go into a surgery, right? Like your surgeon will tell you, you know, keep working out, keep your muscle mass up as much as you can, because post-surgery, you won't be able to be as active and you'll recover faster. It's kind of the same thing. We were in such a strong position in economic development, a business environment standpoint, that we came out in a strong position because we didn't have as many pain points. Now, I say that saying a lot of individuals and a lot of businesses really suffered during COVID. It's been heartbreaking. But I also hear a lot from peers, and I spend a lot of time studying other communities. We have also fared a lot better than others.
Welcome back to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics. Thanks for joining us again for our series that is dedicated to sharing insights from the leaders and decision makers in the Chattanooga area. As you heard at the top of the podcast, Christy Gillenwater will be our guest for this edition of Moving Business Forward. Christy serves as the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be talking with her about a variety of topics, including the resiliency of the Chattanooga business community over the past couple of years. You'll also hear how the Chamber has evolved its programs to meet the challenges of the day. Another highlight of the interview is hearing how Christy's career path led her to Chattanooga and her perspective on the impact that chambers of commerce across the country can make within their respective communities. For this interview, Christy sat down with Greg Thompson, the executive producer of Pod Topics. Greg talked with Christy in one of the conference rooms at the downtown office of the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce. Now let's hand it off to Greg for his conversation with Christy Gillenwater.
Hello again, everybody. And as you heard in the opening, we're at the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce. We're talking with Christy Gillenwater. And Christy, welcome to Moving Business Forward.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you having me today.
We're here in your office, and it is what you would call a Chamber of Commerce day. The sun is out. Things feel pretty good out here. We've got a list of questions to talk about, but before we get to all of that, I wanted you to give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself and your journey to your position with the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce.
Well, sure, Greg, would love to talk about that. And first of all, I have to say it's an honor and privilege to serve the business community and to serve the Chattanooga region. I started down this career. It's kind of a fascinating story. Like many people, the women I know in particular, I was a total daddy's girl. So I grew up in Cincinnati, matriculated over to Indiana. My undergrad is from Indiana University. When I was studying there, my senior year, I had this nonprofit management class. As I was thinking through some options around internships, et cetera, my father was president of a company and he was conducting site selection work. They were expanding throughout the country. And he spent a lot of time with chambers and economic development leaders. And he said to me, oh, I can really see you doing this. You love communities. You love selling things. I think you should think about chambers and economic development. My daddy knew me better than anyone. So I still remember going down to the Bloomington, Indiana chamber, knocking on the door and asking to see their CEO, who was this 6'7" ex-military naval officer. Very intimidating, but turns out he's like a teddy bear. Both my father and Steve have since passed, and they had huge influences on my life. But Steve said, hey, I'd like to intern. You know, I made my way to get a meeting with him. I was persistent, and I said, I'd like to intern for you for free. I just need experience and need to write about it. I'd love if you could find a project for me. And I said, there are 40,000 students just down the street, right? I was their first intern, if you can believe
it,
going a few decades back. Anyway, absolutely loved loved it and decided to just send my resume to a bunch of chambers. I was fortunate to be hired to be the first CEO of a smaller chamber. Had that experience then. Someone I had befriended in the industry hired me on to be head of their policy work. I later came back to that same chamber after a three-year stint in the public sector, working for, they were called SBC at the time, but it's AT&T, and a community relations kind of regional president role to move sweeping policy legislation in Indiana. I was hired back on the economic development side. On the economic development side of that chamber, then I went back to run the Bloomington Chamber of Service CEO, replacing Steve. So when he retired, he called me and said, hey, I'm retiring. I think you need to replace me. And there will be a search.
The ultimate compliment, right?
Yeah. And so I start off as his intern, and here, so fortunate to be hired and replace him. And that's kind of what my journey. And then I moved to Southern Indiana, to Evansville, and was fortunate enough to work on some amazing projects like E is for Everyone, a branding campaign, gosh, an interstate bridge. When I was in Bloomington, we worked on I-69 and building a new interstate. And then moving to Evansville, it was, okay, that same interstate, taking it across the Ohio River. So thinking through that, I had a lot of fun infrastructure projects, a lot of fun public policy. We built a medical school, built out from a two-year to a four-year medical school in Evansville, and had some amazing experiences. Greg, I've been really involved in our national association and served as chair of Chamber of the Year process. That's when I really got to know the Chattanooga Chamber. I had always kind of studied the Chattanooga Chamber, but it was through that process I met my predecessor, Bill Kilbride. A week after winning, he announced he was retiring, and it's just wild how things sometimes work out, but it is the distinct honor and privilege of my career to be here in Chattanooga.
Chattanooga has got so many advantages, as you know. Of course, you met Bill, you were familiar with the Chattanooga Chamber, but let's talk about the area. What was your first visit to Chattanooga, and what were your first impressions of Chattanooga?
Well, it's interesting. My husband, he had done some kite flying in Jasper 10 years before we moved here. And so we made our way to Chattanooga one day, and we said, wow, this is a nice city. This is going back about 15 years from now. So I hadn't been since then. And when I came in to interview, funny story, both times I was in town, we had the Ironman tournament. Wow, everyone in the city's in shape. But we're very outdoorsy. That piece of it was definitely not misleading in that people love to be active, and we love active communities. And for me, I have to be somewhere where I believe in kind of the soul and the brand of that community. And Chattanooga was such a great fit because we also wanted a wonderful place to raise our family. We're very active. We love to be outside. We love to boat, hiking, kayaking, all those kinds of things. Chattanooga, just from a family perspective, really spoke to us. Not to mention, Greg, the people and the energy. And that's one of the things I love about Chattanooga, is our ability to harness individuals and their energy around Chattanooga. People love Chattanooga who are here. There's such pride in the work that individuals have done in the renaissance of Chattanooga, and people feel a part of that. I've never been in a community where literally just about every single person that you talk to felt a part of it, even if they're new here, and feel some ownership in the brand of Chattanooga. And that is powerful in ways that many communities don't have that asset.
Give us a timeline just for our listeners. When did you come into the position?
Sure. So it was end of November of 17. So in December 1, officially.
You had 3 years basically to work here and to get to know the community, to get to know the businesses, and to see how things were running. And 2017 through beginning of 2020, great days, right? Can you kind of talk about those early days, and then we'll get into the last couple of years?
Sure. So since I came in so late in 17, it was 2018, it was all of 18, all of 19, a little bit of 21. So you're right, it was 2.5 years or so. Humming. I mean, my gosh, on fire in many regards. A lot of tremendous coalitions in our community, and I think that's something that's so unique for Chattanooga. I think our brand nationally has been really strong, and that's something that we and the Chattanooga Tourism Company have worked on, and with Barry coming in, trying to take that to a new strategic level of collaboration, because we both work with national leaders in that space. They obviously manage the tourism message. We work on the business economic development message and the talent message. And the talent message isn't that different from a visitor message. So we have a lot of opportunity, and candidly, the entrepreneur message, which has been a key message as well, isn't that far from that. So thinking strategically, and I would say pre-COVID, we were in a great space in terms of Chattanooga's brand externally, the kind of deal flow we were seeing from an economic development standpoint, entrepreneurs learning about Chattanooga, yearning for more, all of those things. And I think just the connected business community that we have, I think with so many family-owned companies, so many small businesses here who felt really connected to one another, yet I think very open to people who move here and want to start new businesses. So I think it continues, of course, we'll get into this, but just a great ecosystem for prosperity for business. That's so much of what the chamber wakes up every day thinking about, is the environment, the ecosystem for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses alike. Is it thriving and where it needs to be for maximum opportunity for businesses?
From what you're relating, and I believe from what most of us know, as you said, things were really cooking, things are happening. Then we get January, February of 2020, and then it's like the whole world changed. But I want to go back to a few things that you said earlier about the spirit of the town, about the entrepreneurial efforts, and about really innovation that has happened here a lot. Talk to us about those early days of 2020 and how you pivoted, how you worked with it, and how you've moved forward.
Great question, Greg. I think, again, uniqueness around Chattanooga, you think about our whole renaissance was around cleaning our air. And you think about Vision 2000 and all the leaders and individuals in the community who helped lift up that work. That's a way of saying we are a resilient community. We roll up our sleeves, we figure it out. That's part of the brand of Chattanooga, is we're rugged, we're willing to solve our problems. And so I think for those reasons, we were well positioned for COVID relative to other communities. That being said, I kind of like to compare it to like when you go into a surgery, right? Like your surgeon will tell you, you know, keep working out, keep your muscle mass up as much as you can, because post-surgery, you won't be able to be as active and you'll recover faster. It's kind of the same thing. We were in such a strong position in economic development, a business environment standpoint, that we came out in a strong position because we didn't have as many pain points. Now, I say that saying a lot of individuals and a lot of businesses really suffered during COVID. It's been heartbreaking. But I also hear a lot from peers, and I spend a lot of time studying other communities. We have also fared a lot better than others. I think for that, there are so many reasons for it. Again, a lot of it does have to do with the way we work together as a community, the way we cross party lines to figure out solutions. Those kinds of things are what a healthy community strives to be. That's why so many communities regularly look at Chattanooga for things like inner city visits when they go and they study another community. And what's interesting is peers are constantly calling me, hey, Chattanooga made our list, or it made our top list. Part of you is like, wow, that's great. And then you go, oh gosh, that's a lot of time locally to figure out, okay, hosting these folks, sharing our story. How can we maximize that opportunity so that we also learn what can we do better too, right? There is a responsibility.
You talked a little bit about the resiliency. Let's talk a little bit about you guys internally. So this happens, people start working from home, then you start to strategize like, all right, how are we gonna move forward?
So great question. I still remember the day I was in my office and our Vice President of Operations, Cheryl Millsaps, came in and said, Christy, this COVID thing, I'm really concerned about it. This was very early, again, January, maybe even December, when she came in to see me and she said, I want us to do these things in order to prepare in the event it goes to where it could. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and do it. Let's be prepared. So long way of saying that literally over a weekend, we flipped the switch and we were 100% productive, pretty much. I mean, short of maybe some folks like myself that are a little technically challenged, slightly slow.
Who isn't?
Definitely am. I'm probably the worst on our team, honestly. We were ready to go over literally a weekend. We said, okay, everyone will be remote. And I still remember saying, for the next 2 weeks, right? But we were immediate. Let's access our database. Let's get on the phone with our members. And we called nearly every member. How are you doing? What do you need? How can we be of service? We documented that. And then from there, we figured out, okay, these are the webinars we need to be producing. And this is how we need to orient people role around getting information from us. Just started producing and churning, working with partners. Okay, what do you need from us? How can we lift you up? The city approached us around, hey, will you help us with this fund for small businesses? Justin started lifting up this daily policy update on federal, state, and local decisions that were impacting businesses. Today continues, but it's four times a week instead of every day back then. So we just lifted up a series of things that were all really predicated on those phone calls that we made and what members were saying they needed. With time, that moved a little bit. It was like those first 3 months, and then those 3 to 6 months, what businesses needed shifted a little bit. Obviously, you had the PPE situation. So working with other partners around PPE and making sure companies were getting those kinds of supplies. So it definitely shifted, and we stayed very nimble and fluid during that whole period of what do businesses need and are we reacting and responding? And then are we seeing things in the community coming in a leadership role and a collaboration role and a supporter role, depending on what the issue was, to make sure that issue or opportunity we were maximizing.
Well, and I know that you made some strategic changes, like you went to a virtual expo, which I got an opportunity to participate in. I was one of those that had it been an in-person, and maybe I'm an outlier, but had it been an in-person deal with a booth and that, I probably wouldn't have done it. My question being this, what innovations did you learn and are you carrying forward from what you've learned the last couple of years?
Yes, absolutely. So we found obviously a lot of need around social media, around our website, to your point around events like the expo and going virtual, and that turned out to be excellent. One thing you recognize in all of this is there are individuals, and it continues today, who some of which really want that handshaking in person. Others feel very uncomfortable around it. So what's interesting about virtual events or hybrid events as well is you have an ability for the event to live on. If during that hour of time or that 3 hour of time I am busy and can't participate, now there's this opportunity. Well, okay, I may not have the networking, whether it's on a screen or in person, but I can still access the content that was there. So that's something from an innovation standpoint that we're really excited to continue exploring and taking that to another level, that content can still be there and accessed at the time that it works for you as an individual.
Well, another thing to think about, and it's something that I've been considering, is that COVID has changed the way we all work. If you were going in and you started working from home and you created a workflow, if you were somebody like me or a small business and I was doing a lot of in-person stuff with clients, well, that all went away. And you had to do stuff via Zoom and you had to adjust, but that allowed you to do more things in a day. So my point being is that you can actually become more productive in this arena. You can touch more people, you can do more things. You can't do them in person, but this is kind of an accepted way of doing business and sharing content. We all have to change, so it sounds like you guys are adapting, moving forward, and taking that approach.
Absolutely, Greg, and kind of to your point, the way we communicate, the way we lead, the way we interact with coworkers or volunteers or others, all of that has shifted. It's much more nimble. We've experienced a number of innovations in those spaces, but again, as I said earlier, the fluidity, I think, is just a constant right now. The pace of change over the last 2.5 years, the amount of change we have all faced is equal to what the 15 years before it. 15 years of change in 2.5. So getting your mind wrapped around that, I think, is pretty intense. For us, we really took at it as, let's seize this opportunity to continue to be essential for businesses, to champion member businesses and promote regional economic growth. When I think about our economic development team, Charles Wood and all of his team members, how is it that we can continue to be fluid and be in front of site selectors and companies? And that's where we also had to think through some innovations and some different approaches. Or I think about the incubator team. We have the third largest incubator in the country in terms of square feet, and a number of companies in there, whether they're manufacturing or service-based. And you have this place where you have partners like the TSBDC and Launch Chattanooga who all congregate together and figure out how to support small business with other partners like the Enterprise Center and CoLab too. In these kinds of situations, you just have to think differently. We had this great culture going in the building. Okay, now that culture, there are parts of it that we have to shift to virtual. As we've all thought, oh, things are coming back, and then no, they're not, and then coming back. So we've all had this kind of this experience together going through this. We have to wake up each day hopeful about that day, that month, that year.
You're listening to Moving Business Forward from Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information. Let's take you back to our conversation with Christy Gillenwater, the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce.
Can you share at a high level, thinking like site selection, things of that nature, things that would be traditional business that are now working in this world?
Yes, it's changed. So for example, instead of having a site consultant or a company come here and actually go on a tour, you're having to create videos and create virtual tours in some cases. We renovated an area in our building to make sure that we can have very effective hybrid meetings, anticipating a future where, let's say there's a foreign direct investment considering, which we were pre-COVID very strong in FDI in Chattanooga and the Chattanooga region. And you think about our regional partners, because also our team serves as the partner for a 16 county, 3-state area. So the Greater Chattanooga Economic Partnership. So we help lure companies to the region and market the region as well. Let's say you have a company from Turkey thinking about here. Well, you might have the site selection team and a few others in person, but yet you might have their CEO and a handful of others back in Turkey. So how do you have an effective meeting where you could really showcase the merits of the community and have those discussions about details in an effective setting? So that's where we knew we needed really a state-of-the-art space to hold hybrid meetings. And so that is what we have created. Construction is pretty much finished now, and now it's bringing in the technology and making sure that's all functioning the way we need it.
Of course, Chattanooga is always on a list of best place to live and the lowest cost of living. And now everybody in this mobile workforce is like, I can work remotely from this area. And again, going back to the things that attracted you and many others to this area, outdoors, all of the advantages that we know about. So how is that changing what you guys are doing, or what kind of impact are you seeing from that?
Great question. So we saw that opportunity very quickly, Greg, and launched into a new website called Chattanooga Calling. Chattanooga Calling really was in two phases. The first phase was, how can we orient local talent around opportunities here within our business, and mapping out how to move from this spot to this spot and the type of education that's needed, links to those education providers, and then information around those jobs. And we pull from Indeed jobs onto the site, and so people can go in there and see. The second phase of it, Greg, to your point, was around luring talent from outside of Chattanooga to Chattanooga. Great neighborhood information, cost of living information, what to do here, but again, also tying back to these are the kinds of jobs and industry sectors where we're really trying to focus our energies. So tying it back to the Chamber's Chattanooga Climb strategy and what our targeted industry sectors are. We worked all of that together, but with a very laser focused on how can we help grow our talent population here. We've been really successful in that. We've obviously seen that in the number of people moving here, population growth, the housing numbers that we're seeing. So we continue to focus in on that. We have a strong social media campaign that's lifting up that site. And in fact, we were just amazed by our numbers and the results that we garnered through that strategy. So through a very targeted social media strategy that tied back to that site and the kind of traffic that we've seen and results driven from that.
How has the last couple of years changed your focus and goals?
Yes, great question. We always think you have to stay focused on your vision, you have to stay focused on your strategy, but at the same time, you must adapt to your changing environment. So while our vision has stayed the same, really our strategic plan, our targeted industries, our support for local businesses, a lot of that has continued, but it's shifted in terms of how we implement it. For example, we've started peer groups. So we have a number of peer groups that in some cases are meeting in person, in some cases they're virtual, but a smaller peer group is a safer place for someone these days than trying to go and work a room of 100 people. thinking through that. How do we still create this very connected business community and help business leaders solve their own problems by building those networks? We've just had to create an intentional experience for individuals. So that's just one example of what we've done.
As you look out for the next 5-10 years, what do you see for Chattanooga business and what do you see for this organization?
First of all, I think the workforce and talent challenges will remain top of mind. Any business you talk to, it's pretty much front and center. And yes, you have these other factors like COVID, you have inflation, you have supply chain challenges. There's some other macro issues that you sometimes hear, but definitely the talent piece continues. And it's something I hear from all of my counterparts. I think continued focus around talent development and the pipeline. So thinking high school, the Chat State, the UTC, all of our higher ed partners, Southern Adventist, et cetera, thinking through how we can better partner with them, how we can continue to lift up programs like Future Ready Institute, so more work-based learning opportunities for students when they're in high school, and helping them select a Future Ready Institute that makes sense for them as an eighth grader. And then as they matriculate into ninth grade, ensuring that any business who wants to participate and be a partner has access to that. That's a real focal area of ours. But at the same time, the talent recruiting piece, and I think moving forward, really looking sector by sector and relying on other partners who can also lift up some of the sector work, bringing together a group of employers to figure out how can we all work together to solve some of these challenges. So to me, I think workforce piece will definitely continue to be top of mind. I think always, Greg, you have to tend to your home. You have to tend to making sure our community is a place where people want to live, that people are drawn to Chattanooga. Because if people are drawn to Chattanooga, companies will be drawn to Chattanooga. Years ago, when I started in this industry, it was all about the companies you recruit and then people follow. Today, I think the equation's really shifted. It's you attract the people and then the companies follow. So you have to be a place where talent wants to live, especially today when, to your earlier point, people can live anywhere for some certain job. You have to attract the talent to attract the companies. So tending to the place, which that's what the tourism company relies on, place as well. And there's so many organizations that rely on place. Also, I think what's shifted more and more, Greg, which we really try to make it clear in Velocity 2040 and the visioning process and then in our Chattanooga Climb strategy, is we as a chamber, we cannot live out our mission effectively. All our partners aren't rowing with us and their A game too, like our schools. When our schools, you look at how much they've improved, our K-12 schools, we need all of our partners rowing, because when they are, it makes our job that much easier. And like I said, we're trying to sell this place that is Chattanooga in our region. So we need regional partners. We need Dalton to be great. We need Cleveland to be great. We need all of that because our region is strong because of the individual roles we all play.
What you're talking about here is the further development of a community at large. Schools are a part of it, and you mentioned having career paths. Not everybody's destined for college. Could be a trades component of it. You look at places like Volkswagen and partners that there are great jobs that are available through trade if people have the skills to have them. What you're talking about here is quality of life and community.
Exactly. And I think about phenomenal examples. I look at Mayor Coppinger, Mayor Kelly's leadership around the Construction Workforce Trade Academy. Really, the Association of General Contractors is lifting up, but it's a consortium of partners who have all been involved in that. And so an industry coming together to say, let's solve some of our pipeline issues, but then bringing in elected leaders, nonprofit partners, and others who can all collectively make this dream come to fruition. And then you have funders who are helping to fund the project. I mean, those kinds of projects are so exciting, align exactly with Chattanooga Climbs and some of the things that 250 people who helped us write that plan said were needed. So I think it ties it all back. And I think any time when you're involved in this body of work like Chambers, I love that we sit at the center point of government, of business, and other nonprofits, and we sit in that center. And there are other organizations who do too. And it's such an amazing place. One of of the things that we find is really important now more than ever is to listen to the community. So again, going back to Velocity 2040, nearly 5,000 people we listened to in that process. Chattanooga Climbs, that strategy, it was 800 people. Those kinds of things, you have to involve the community in the strategy and in the vision so that they'll want to own part of it, because no one person, no one organization can move Chattanooga and Hamilton County and our region forward. It takes a plethora of people and individuals. And to me, again, communities like ours that have a healthy way of functioning are going to be the ones that you'll see as success in 50 years and 100 years. Those that have breakdown in communication and can't work together, I think they're really going to struggle in the future. Kind of going back to COVID, I think that's another reason why we've really weathered the storm pretty well, is that we have this history of working well together. And I feel like in the sandbox, when you have a new leader come in, they quickly can figure out in the sandbox, we all play really nicely here because we are all reliant upon one another. And not all communities kind of have that culture and that understanding when you come in that, hey, these are often unstated expectations. Like from a business standpoint, hey, you own a business here, there's an expectation around civic duty, around giving back, around engaging, around stepping up and leading. That is so powerful for Chattanooga and something we take a lot of honor in helping to continue and make sure that we're lifting up our part of that work.
What's the best part of your job?
Gosh, the best part of my job, the amazing people I have the pleasure of working with, whether it's within our staff, whether it's elected leaders, whether it's CEOs, whether it's small business entrepreneurs, whether it's your neighborhood retailer, the opportunity to be the voice for business, to represent small businesses, to learn from all these amazing nonprofit leaders, elected leaders, business leaders, and to sit there and have access to these brilliant minds and trying to pull all those thoughts together and say, okay, based on all of this, which direction should we head? To me, that's the honor and privilege of a lifetime. And I really do. I feel in my heart, Greg, that this was the body of work I was meant to live out while blessed to be here.
Going back to the beginning of the conversation, could you imagine from that first conversation that you had with Steve many, many years ago, big intimidating guy. I can imagine here you are looking for a college internship, being young, impressionable, all that. Could you imagine at that point being where you are today?
I mean, I always had pretty bold visions for my life. I was blessed to have, again, like I said, I was a daddy's girl who basically said, the world's your oyster. That's one thing I understand, like I was blessed to be born into the family I was in. Not every individual has that kind of experience growing up. So I count my blessings on that. But no, I mean, there's so many things about the journey that have been fascinating. I also have absolute honor of serving in a leadership position in our national association. When I think about the 10,000 folks like me out there in our country and waking up every day thinking about how can we better our community and those working with elected officials and other partners, it is a really amazing experience. And the last couple of years have been very stressful for a lot of folks. And I think one thing we as chambers can do is lift up other leaders in our community, help championing them, checking in on them, making sure we're there and they know we're there when they need us to be. Ultimately, waking up every day thinking, how do we champion member businesses and promote regional economic growth? And there's so many things that go into that, Greg. Again, when I started back in the industry, to your point, just as an intern, there were so few things in a way that really affected your success. Today, again, as I keep articulating, there are countless things that impact our ability to be successful as an organization. Not to mention those nearly 2,000 members out there who wake up every day thinking through, can I continue to employ everyone on my staff? And how can I grow revenue to ensure that I'm growing? Like, you think about that awesome responsibility that risk takers take on and entrepreneurs take on to say, I am going to open a business, whether it's just me or there are many mouths I'm going to feed. Going back to my dad, he was a small business owner. He had 40 employees, unfortunately, upon his death. He died while working. I think about those 40 families. You think about all the small businesses out there who wake up every day thinking about, I need to continue to take care of the families that I employ. And that's such an awesome responsibility, let alone making sure that our residents have access and opportunity to build a great future for themselves. And that's something that we wear on our shoulders very seriously.
Well, the great thing about what you do is that it's never finished. There's always yes. something new. Sounds like the way you approach it, there's always something exciting, always an opportunity. Yeah. Always a trip point that you have to navigate, but the opportunities certainly outweigh the trip points.
You're absolutely right, Greg. I mean, when you check the box that, hey, we accomplished that, then you're on to something else. I mean, it never ends. The competing world of cities, we look at it as often as co-opetition with some others, but in order to have a thriving city, you never check the box. You never check the box on economic development and assisting small businesses. I mean, there is a lot of job security there because it will never go away. Some of us, it may have to come and go with time, but gosh, that job will never go away. That's why chambers are so essential to communities. And I think often if you unpeel the onion in some of your most successful communities, you'll find a really strong chamber was involved in it because so much of our role is working with so many other partners. It's such a privilege and honor. It really is. It's the honor of a lifetime to serve in this industry and to serve in Chattanooga and to be here now during the most challenging times, honestly, in my career. Gosh, 25-ish years in the industry, and definitely the last couple have been the most challenging, but at the same time, the most inspiring and heroic in terms of what you witness and other leaders around you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I might just say from the bottom of my heart, a thank you to all of our businesses out there, everyone who works for area businesses or nonprofits or government. Thank you for your service. Special thanks to all of our healthcare workers. Boy, these last few years have been so trying for them and our healthcare leaders. We are indebted to you. The rest of us literally can't function without you. And to our teachers and our educators, these last few years have been so difficult. We need you. We need you to be strong and continue. You're helping us keep people employed. You're helping us develop our future talent and workers. But again, just a deep thanks, a special thanks to all of our chamber members out there, all of our investors who enable us to do what we do each and every day. A special thanks to all of our elected officials and partners in the community. And of course, to our chamber team, my amazingly talented colleagues on our staff who wake up every day trying to live out our mission, the best community we can. So thank you.
That's Christy Gillenwater with her closing thoughts on this edition of the Moving Business Forward podcast from Pod Topics. As we shared with you earlier in the podcast, Christy is the president and CEO of the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce. We'd like to thank Christy for sharing her time and perspective with us. If you would like to learn more about the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce, we would invite you to visit the organization's website, ChattanoogaChamber.com. That web address again is ChattanoogaChamber.com. Thank you for listening to Moving Business Forward, a podcast produced by Pod Topics that is dedicated to bringing you insights and perspectives from Chattanooga area business leaders. Be sure to check PodTopics.com for new episodes of the series. We would also like to invite you to subscribe to Moving Business Forward on your favorite podcast platform. You can find Moving Business Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio Podcasts, and all other major podcast services. By becoming a subscriber, you'll be notified whenever we post a new episode, and on some of these platforms, you'll also have the opportunity to rate our podcast. Once again, thank you for spending part of your day with us on Pod Topics, the place for engaging conversations and insightful information.